This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, we're holding here Perek Yud Aleph, and Perek Yud Aleph is the parallel to Perek Yud. Perek Yud, he explained the Tzadik Gomer, Tzadik Viralo, Tzadik Vitovlo, Tzadik Gomer, Tzadik Shena Gomer. And now he's going to explain the other two, which is Rosh Vitovlo, Rosh Viralo. So, Vizelumaseh. Now, it's parallel almost. There is going to be one crucial Nafgemina, we'll see. And once he explains, so once he lay out Tzadik, and now in this Perek he's laying out Rosh. And then Perek Yud Beis is going to go on to Beinoni, which is kind of the sefer that Tanya's intended for. Perek Yud Aleph, Vizel Umaseh. So there is going to be a parallel that if we find two levels of a tzaddik, there's going to be two levels of a rasha. Rasha v'toivloi, l'umas tzaddik v'raloi. Dehainu, sh'ha toiv sh'benafsha loikis, sh'bemoichoi, u'bechalal ha'imone sh'beliboi, it's kofuf and bottle. Now, he had said before, and he's elaborate on it, that a Beinoni never does an Avera. A Beinoni is just somebody that has a Havamin to do an Avera. But if a person does an Avera at any time, so he's a Rasha for that amount of time. So anytime if there are times when your Yetzer Tov gives into the Yetzer Hara, that means that you're a Rasha. It means it's possible for that. Now, obviously, these terminologies are in the context of what he's talking about. But in this context, the fact that it's possible for Ra to at some point be the dominant factor and Tov goes along, it describes you as a Rasha.
Like a Chaloshim, the fact that you call the Rasha, like, okay.
It's not relevant to anything other than than what he's talking about. In other words, in the context of what the Rambam talks about, he's not a Rasha. But in this context, when we're talking about absolute terms, then it's something that's, let's give an example, and let's take a simple example. Imagine a person who is generally a law-abiding citizen 99% of the time, but occasionally when he needs to, he'll pickpocket. So that's very different. In other words, we're not going to say he's 2% not criminal. The fact that a person can on occasion pickpocket is a different. That means that the person can be criminal. It's not, you know, when you speak about a person face putting away his stuff and 98% of the time puts away his stuff and 2% of the time doesn't put away, so we say he's a neat person. That fits well. We don't say he's a sloppy person. We say he's a neat person. Yeah, maybe once or twice he won't. But if somebody will maybe once or twice steal, then it's a very different framework. The fact that the person can do criminal activity puts him in a very different status. So if in the big terms, if for somebody that Ra is so bad, it's the way we would look at something criminal, the fact that a person can occasionally do an Avera puts him in a very different category. Obviously, this is a very general term that describes tens of thousands of different combinations. How much and how often it's bottled. And again, we're not talking about how many aveiros, how many mitzvahs, just the very fact that the person can let go and do an occasional aveira. And Sometimes it deals with very minor things. And very frequently, so it means that the person never gets totally immersed in it, because with all of the terminology that he's speaking about is talking about a measure of the person rather than a measure of his actions. So it's very important, the quality and the level of immersion is something very important. If the vast majority of the person holds on and only some part of the person is involved, that's a very different diagram than someone that is very involved. So the any one of these that he allowed himself to be swept up in, it means that he's, if it allowed itself to happen, then he's a rush of a toivloi. If generally holds on to the good. We're not talking about somebody who's thinking of an avera that he would like to do it, but you know, he just doesn't get around to doing it. Just the thinking about it, the hear itself. And so on. Oi, he says, shehisha sakoisha. Lasik b'teira, v'umifana libla v'atola. A person has a time when he could have learned, and if finally v'atola kitnan ba'avis aner ba'layla mifana libla v'atola. So it's very interesting. He doesn't say that a second goes by without learning. He says if it's a shasa koisha. So it's mashma that, you know, total immersion learning is not shared to everyone. There are times when a person should be learning, it could be learning, and he's not. It could be a lot of time, but it's a shas hakoyish lasik b'toyra. Shebe'achas nikol eilu, because the Nefesh HaChayim says ki'ilu 24/7, even for someone who's working. So if it's a very, the Nefesh HaChayim sets a very, very high bar. But l'maisa, this is the pshat, is the person allowed himself to become ra. Shebe'achas nikol eilu k'etzev and nikol rosh be'isahi, shara shebe'nav she'goyve boy. So what happened is at that time he was overcome by the chelik of Ra, and that became the person. So in other words, in terms of understanding the structure, the person's guf, machshava, maisa are all a ship. And the question is, who's running the ship? And if at some point Ra is running the ship, that means that the person's, you know, it's been taken over for a while. Now, the Toiv comes back again. Now, he's going to present over here a type of test. Lamashal, Rishayim don't do Averis 24/7. They take vacation sometime. Some people do the Averis during the vacation, but Akapanim, a person doesn't do the Averis 24/7. So if we were to define it as sometimes I do Averis, well, everybody does Averis sometime. So the core definition is, what's the status of the person when he's not overcome with Yitzhahara? Does he immediately regret what he's done? In other words, how do I define, I have a choice of defining a person two ways. Person number one, is it tzaddik who is sometimes overcome by Yetzirah, and he does X amount of Averis. We have no exact numbers for it. It's not measured by numbers. And B, who is a bad person, Yetzirah. Now, B, A and B could be doing a similar amount of Averis. That's not the amount of Averis. If A has a very, very strong Yetzirah, he may end up doing many Averis. But the real measure is there any charata when the person's Yetzirah subsides? So long as a person sincerely regrets it, that means his baseline is good. It's just that he was overcome with a taiva, whatever it is. If the person really is apathetic and couldn't care less, then it means that something in the person has been compromised, that the person that's being run by Ra. Lehoraya, even when his Yetzirah subsides, he really, really has no, he doesn't regret what he did. So the hallmark of somebody who's a Rosh of the Toiv Loi, he still is possessed of Toiv, is the Charata. Or Mischaret, or Mevakesh Mechesed Hashem. Vashem Yislach Loi, Im Shav B'Tshuva Ruya, Al Pi Atzas Chachmeinu Zal, B'Shloish Chalukei Kapora, Sheir Shmol Deirish, Mashkosav Mokar Macha. Someone told me once, that I don't remember the context, but a firm woman was telling him that when she first started working in whatever office she was working, she didn't even get the jokes they were saying. The next stage was she got the jokes and would blush. The third stage was she would stop blushing, and then she realized she has to get out. In other words, as long as there's a charata mechanism, means that I am the seder and I'm overcome sometimes. The bakasha for slicha mechila is in place if the person sincerely regrets it every time, means that at least there's something there that's functioning, that's toiv. So, Hashem Zechloi im shav b'tshuva ruya patzas chamein azal, and this is, it's a bit of, I guess, an hum of some sort. A person davens three times a day, Hashiveinu, Slach Lanu Avinu, and a person is Oisik every Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Tshuva and so on. And a person asks himself at some point, what's the point of it? I've been through this many times. I know that it's going to keep happening again and again. Is there a point to keep stoking tshuva and slicha mechila? And the answer is yes, if it's sincere, because the difference between a person who's mischaret to a person who's not is what the person is. Okay, so that's one type of Taif, the Yesh Mishra Gaiva by Yoisa, Umislapshin by Kol Shlash of Rosh Hashanah. So now he says the first type of Rasha is somebody who is going to be, the second type is a subdivision of Rasha Vitaivlai. So the first one is somebody who has rare bouts of averus and it's mischaret and so on. So a person's machshava, diba, maisa all are involved in chet. And he does many more averus, more often, many more averus. Ach, bein tayim, mischaret or bonahur tshuva, mipchinas hatoiv shebenafshoi, shemizgah sasnaim. But in the lull, there are real hirhurei charata. So the first person is somebody who occasionally does averis, and then is not as mischaret, but he engages in full tshuva, and when we see him as a baal tshuva. This one already, he does many averis, various that we would consider to be chomer, and he's involved in it much more. Machshava diba maisa, but between avera tavera, he really wishes he didn't do avera. But he never can make it through the process of doing tshuva in a real way, and at least for time being, he just wishes he wasn't doing what he was doing. So these people are Rishoyim Molei Charatis. Shem Roiver Shem Sheshbechinas Enashayim. So this person, even though the toiv in the person has yet, it never comes through in a way that it dominates, or rarely, but it's an underlying psychological dimension of the person. The person is unhappy with where he is. Let's give a marshal in the world. A person is engaged, a person is an alcoholic, a person is narcotic, whatever. So the person has reached a point where he never ever is can shut himself out. But the person, Bedar Khalal, is extremely unhappy with who he is, where he is. If there's still something human left to him, he really, really wishes that he was in that place. So he's never, it's not that he occasionally slipped up and then it's normal. It's like he has a garment with a hole here, a hole there. The person is very engaged in Avera and immersed in it, but at least there's a layer in his nefesh that has harata. Remember, I once had an experience. It was something that shook me. The yeshiva I went to was called RJJ. It was in Lower East Side. Lower East Side was not from the gentrified areas of Manhattan, at least when we grew up. And about four blocks away from the yeshiva, there was something called Skid Row. Skid Row, for those of you who read old literature, it's a place where all sorts of people that fell in hard times end up. And the Bowery Street was four blocks away, and it was a place where all people who became alcoholics ended up. Very, very, very difficult place to look at. People would be sprawled out, their faces swollen, splotched with purple, having these coats, like I guess the Salvation Army gave them out, reeking of really, really broken glass, very, very difficult type. So we didn't go that well from the Bowery. But occasionally on a cold night or something, if they would sometimes wander into yeshiva. You know, the yeshiva was far, really, was four big blocks away, but once in a while. I came in one morning to yeshiva, I was the first one in, and there were two drunks sprawled down on the floor. Wet, broken bottles, yucks. And I guess I walked in and made some noise, and one of them opens his eye, and he says to me, "Son, you're learning this in the yeshiva here?" I said, "Yeah." "Do you know any?" And he named somebody, a classmate of my brother's. I said, "Sure." He said, "That's my nephew." And he said, "I'm garbage. I'm nothing. But he's going to be a great rabbi someday." And it was so, you know, the undercurrent of humanity, the undercurrent of some nefesh left, that he has a nephew who's proud of him, that's going to be the salvation for him, for his family, I don't know, whatever, was extremely, extremely, I mean, I was a young boy, I don't know how old I was, bar mitzvah, maybe a little older, but, you know, had he not expressed that, okay, it would have been a Rahman, it's just seeing a wreck of a person, but that there was still was some chias over there, that a person had still a sense of who he is and what he is and what's good and what's right. But this is what he's referring to. It's something where there's Malayas Charotis, but is never able to bring it to a dag of tshuva. It's a dag of Charota, but he can never overcome and do it. So that's still called Rasha V'Toivlai, because the toiv in him still expresses itself somewhere. So these first two are subcategories of Rasha V'Toivlai. Now the third category. The person is no haratis. The person is not discomfited. Reb Chaim Shlevitz once told over, I think it's a chazal, it's a medrash somewhere, that there were children who had a father who was a drunk, and they were at their wit's end how to cure him. So they once schlepped him, there was a guy who had, was like knocked out, spilled out in the street, and they schlepped the father to see what it looks like. And the father saw him, he was like stunned, and he bends over and he says, my dear friend, where'd you get such good whiskey? So that's a person who does have no charotet. This is him, is happy, and that's that. So basically, the only thing that's functioning in his self is this ra. So this is a point that he says, Bermiza, and let's talk about this concept of makif that he's talking about, and so on. It says that when Adam Arishin, was chayter, so it says Adam Arishin had neshama. The neshama has five levels that the Medrash says. Medrash Rabbah, there's nefesh, there's ruach, there's neshama, there's chaya, there's yichida. Neshama is the first part in a person. Nefesh is the physical drives. Ruach is the place where bechira exists, can go back and forth. Neshama is tahar. Neshama is going to start to be tahirhi. It's the part of the person that is always good, totally good. So when Adam Rishon was chayte, so the nefesh is chaytas. So the nefesh is chayte. The ruach makes decisions. It's sometimes boicher. The neshama, how could a neshama that's tohar be part of a metzias that's tamei? So Chazal say, Sfarim say that neshama, when Adam was chayte, the neshama went above him, sort of hovered above him, and Behila Lairoshi. There's a rem is the pasuk. It's like something that is on top of the head. It's like not on the person, but on top. A synonym for that is called makif. It surrounds the person, and instead of being inside the person. So what's this inyan about? In other words, why do we call it a makif? Why is it expressed that way, and so on? So a makif means that even though it's not consciously part of it, it can always enter the person. In other words, when I look at a person, for instance, let's say I take a guy and I preach to him all day and all night, there is no guarantee whatsoever that the person will have any interest in Yiddishkeit. So even if I was proselytizing, even if there was any reason to do so, the chances, mechatesa, somebody would want to give up a comfortable lifestyle, first friend's lifestyle, and all the arguments in the world wouldn't resonate. There's no reason why it would resonate. When I speak to Yisrael, even if he's as far out as could be, then he's reached this target about time he's talking about. There is zero neshama left in the person. So lechura would seem like a guy. And the answer is no. The place where it occupies is called makif. It's as if it's hovering above the person, which means it still has a kesh with the person. It's not active in any way within the person, but it's available to reactivate. So makif refers to also HaKadosh Baruch Hu has certain anhagis that are called arpanim, are makif. Basically, arpanim means something that is not part and parcel of that, but it can interact. Let's take a simple mushal. A guard that's guarding a president or whatever, you can have somebody who is standing next to him, and he is sort of, right next to him. You can have somebody, you don't see him in sight, but the minute some stranger comes over to where the official is, there's all of a sudden somebody appears and, and tells him, move on. It's there. There's no way that you're conscious of it being part of it, and there's no way you would see it being part of it, except that you would, if you touch the right buttons, it reawakens. It's like a computer in, I don't know, so many modes, there's sleep mode, there's this mode, that mode, whatever mode there is that right now it's not working, but with a little touch, it reawakens again. So that person, a rush of viraloi, means his inside is totally filled with ra, but there's a smakif. The reason why he says this over here is that it's something that there is no such thing as somebody cutting himself off totally from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramchal says this, Ra and Toiv and Ra are parallel and they're equal, except that Ra comes to an end at some point and Toiv doesn't. They're very, very equal, except that Toiv exists forever and Ra not. So there's always a makrim where Toiv is, but I may be totally not aware of it. Wherever you have 10 people, the Shechina is Shaira. So you have 10 Rishoyim over here. Where's the Shechina? The answer is, even the worst Rosh of Eraloi, the Shechina is a Pchinas Makif. He's sort of, it's there, but not in a way that's conscious. And that's why Lamashal, let's talk about this. You have something called a group dynamic. You have people that act in a certain way. And every person acts in a certain way, there's a normal pattern of behavior. When you come together as a group, the behavior is different. And that's because there's another dimension, a person that may not be part of himself, but when it's mitzarif with others, it takes that on. It could be letzara ra, but he's talking about letzara toif. Kol be'asara shchinta shari means, because when you have 10, you now have that dimension as a full metzias. There's something bigger than each individual prat, and in that world, that makiv is affected. So let's just sum up briefly. In this parak, he went through the Russia parallels to the tzaddik. Tzaddik is the tzaddik v'toyv, tzaddik v'ralo, and he spoke about a complete tzaddik to an incomplete tzaddik. In Russia, the Russia means the Russia allows, he's a Russia because he occasionally allows affairs to be done. In that, there's two dargas. One is a darga where he recovers and, goes clean and becomes a fine person. And that's, that's one. The second darga is a person never is able to really do it, but there's constant charata. And then there's the Russia viralo, where there's not even charata, and it seems as if the person has been totally hollowed out. It's all ra, but there's always that makif. There's always that chelik that sticks around. Minimally, we can be mitzarif into minyan and so on, because there's that chelik in a person that the makif that stays good. Okay, we'll hold it here, Mitzvah Hashem. And next, I think next week there will be a Shabbos Hashem. Okay.